much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I've been looking at our utter and complete lack of experience as a positive thing, but I'm starting to think it might actually be a problem.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
But if you're a Republican, you know, there isn't much of a choice. I get Rick Santorum is out. I guess it just wasn't Rick's year. Rick's year is 1954. You know, it's one thing to oppose gay marriage. It's another altogether to do it in a sweater vest. I don't understand politicians who are against gay marriage. I don't understand anyone who's against gay marriage. And when you really think about it, aren't all marriages kind of gay? I mean, as a man, when you get married, essentially what you're saying is, I will never touch another woman as long as I live. Now let's put jewelry on each other and dance.
And now,
a man should not be judged by what he does with a fellow man's butt.
Our feature presentation.
All right, good way to start.
I think so.
Good advice for everybody, kids.
That's true.
So what's going on?
Morning, everybody.
What's happening, party people?
Brand new Kevin Amicho. It's Monday morning.
When's the weenie roast, by the way? That's coming up, right? Been hearing about the weenie roast? Is that still happening?
I have not heard much about it, to be honest.
It seems like it should be.
Do we know who the bands are yet or anything?
It's like 2 weeks or something,
I think. It's late summer.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
All right. Got ways to go.
Let me start with someone that Kevin and I can unite in hating.
All right.
Because I dislike the handicap deeply, as you know. And Kevin
is absurd.
They're not as good as we are. I've explained this to you a million times. It makes perfect sense to hate the handicapped. They are not as good as we are. And you hate people who accomplish things with disabilities also because they make the rest of us look bad. They screw up the curve.
Right, exactly. I mean, you got to know your place. My place is to not climb Mount Everest.
Exactly.
That's not my place.
Exactly. We have a lot of stories with people who have everything in the world stacked against them, yet they still go out there and they persevere. Coleman Shannon, a 14-year-old from Johnsonville, South Carolina, has always wowed on the baseball field as a star pitcher for one of the local little league teams. But the team gave the performance of his career earlier this year when he pitched a no-hitter against the neighboring Timminsville team, a feat extremely rare in Little League and almost unthinkable for someone with a disability. Shannon,
no arms,
was born with a medical condition known as amelia, in which his right arm ends at the elbow. He has one hand.
So he throws left-handed, he puts the glove on the...
That's exactly
nope.
What he does. And he threw a no-hitter.
Aww.
With one hand.
Now, wow.
I was trying to think about this. It does seem extraordinary, but should it make a difference in what kind of a pitcher you are? I can understand how it would make a difference in your fielding because you've got to move the glove
to
your
hand. You don't have to field much as a pitcher.
But should it make any kind of a difference in your
Probably
pitching?
Probably not.
So is it that big a deal, or is it just
Well, it
like,
is in that he didn't let that stop him from going out to do that to begin with. I think that's a big deal.
But I don't think there's anything holding him back from being a good pitcher if one of his arms is missing.
No, it's just a mental thing, I guess.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe because growing up, people would say, oh, too bad you can't play sports
do that, yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
So you brought this up just to say, so what?
Yeah, F you, Coleman Shannon, 14-year-old from
Turns out, not a big deal.
You're not all that at all. The other night he pitched a no-hitter. That was a tearful moment, one of Shannon's coaches said. When you think about what he's been through and how much it's taken him just to get to this point, when he went out and threw the no-hitter, it was just a cheerful time for everyone. According to his family, Shannon was determined not to let his disability deter him from anything. When his parents tried to fit him with a prosthetic arm, he didn't understand why he needed it, and he cast it aside.
Really? Those are expensive.
They are? Yeah, they are very expensive.
Super expensive.
So he didn't want one. He just decided to be a one-armed dude. And his parents and family and friends are all amazed by his determination and perseverance. But I think Lisa has put it into fine focus here. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think get over yourself.
Wait, I'm not sure I actually
That's
said that.
That's what you said, Bean.
Get
was,
over
yeah, that,
yourself.
That was you.
Was your point.
I hope you die. How about that?
No, let's not be ridiculous.
You like that? I don't think you deserve to play Little League. I think you've got an advantage. How about that? Because you put all of your focus on your one arm.
That's true.
Good
Everybody else
point.
Has to worry about two arms.
That is true. Other people are like working on fielding and batting. Well,
yeah.
How does he bat though?
And
they
like when he lifts weights, he only has to lift one.
Have a pinch hitter?
I don't know. Maybe it's an American League Little League team and he doesn't have to bat. Maybe
they
have a designated
they have
hitter.
American League or National League and
I don't know how
Little
that,
League.
I don't know how that's interesting. How it would be difficult to bat with one arm.
Yeah.
Because you got no
So
control.
Get back to us when he's batting 400.
Yeah, exactly.
Not when he's pitching well.
So I think the verdict of the room is we are not impressed.
No.
Come back when you've done something other than pitch a no-hitter with one arm.
Do something else and then come back.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I am convinced that you can probably do this.
Based on what?
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking about the celebs and whatnot over the weekend. We have, we've got to talk about jury duty, Lisa, and what, why.
How fun that is?
Your excitement on Friday. I can't wait to hear all about
it. What a good time that is.
Why does the system not like you? Or want you?
Me specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They sure kicked me out fast,
they
don't they?
Sure
like,
did.
I was gone in 3 hours.
And you didn't even smear poop on your face or anything?
I did nothing.
The woman, Lisa May, yeah, get rid of her.
That's a really good question. I hadn't thought about that.
Same thing happened to me.
Do they not let women on juries now?
Yes, they let women on juries.
Oh, they
juries,
do?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you? All women, just not woman.
Just did not
you,
me.
Did you explain to the court that you can tell they're guilty just by looking at them?
I said nothing to the court.
You didn't even have an interview?
No.
They didn't even talk to
there
you about
there was like 60 of us in a room.
Yeah?
Should I just tell us now? 60 of us in a room, and they spend an hour talking to people who forgot their summons.
Good.
Who are in the wrong room, who didn't bring a pen.
Aren't those
right?
Aren't those the people that they should just dismiss?
We have the mouth-breathing hour.
Right. Yeah. If you can't understand the instructions.
Honest
to get
God.
To jury duty.
The mouth breathing hour. I saw them last night.
You shouldn't be on a jury.
Very good. Right.
True. And by the way, people show up with nothing to do.
That's just dumb.
Not a book.
Kindle,
not a
nothing.
Smartphone. Nothing.
They just sit there
and stare. It's weird.
Those are jurors right there.
Yeah. Those are the people they call. So maybe 3 hours in, they call everyone to a panel except for me and seven other people.
Wow.
And we're looking around going, way.
What's wrong with us?
There's no way we didn't get called.
What do you suppose that is, though? Seriously, Lisa.
I
the exact same thing happened to me, Lisa.
I don't know.
They start with a room of 100, and they narrow it all the way down to under 10, and you're sitting there going, at first, you don't want to.
No, of course not.
But by the end of the day, you're like, what's wrong with me?
I know. I mean, this other world will look at each other like, what? We smell? What's going on?
I mean, at least when I was on jury duty the one time in my life, they brought me into the room and discussed the case.
No such
thing. And then decided they didn't want me after they heard what I had to say.
I could have told them they didn't want you.
How dare you?
But they wouldn't listen.
Yeah, well, we all know that.
We got a complete recap of the Weenie Roast on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
We have Maddie Simmons, who has written the book, The History of Animal House.
Fat, Drunk, and Stupid is No Way to Go Through Life, Son.
That's correct.
That's the name of the book. That is one of the most successful movies of all time. And it was his first movie. And he's written
That's
a book
amazing.
About it. And it's apparently one of those films that... continues to draw new fans in every year. It's a classic.
And we also have, let's see. Oh, we interviewed Soundgarden at the K-Rock Winnie Rose Fiesta.
How about that?
They were a secret band. Stage turn. They were there. Didn't say anything about it. Most people didn't know they were going to be there. So we got to talk to them right after their set. This time we talked to them afterwards. Usually we talk to them before and we go, that was great. And they go, yeah, I know, right? But this time we actually talked to them after their set. So anyway, we got that coming up as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on?
Things.
Good
what things?
Good to see you on Saturday night.
Good
your
to
beautiful
be
bride.
Yeah,
you guys
Carrie
like you
had a good
time.
She had a blast.
Yeah, it was a great show.
It was a great show.
I was trying to think. You know, you always, you know, especially you work for the radio station, you evaluate what could we have done differently, what could we have done better. I don't know how it could have been a better show.
More garbage.
Yeah,
that's
there
how.
You
had
go.
Them play
another
of hours.
Another hour of garbage would have done me just fine. Thank you so much.
I did get complaints from people. Why were they on so early?
Yeah.
And the answer was, and I guess we didn't explain this Saturday, is they literally had a plane to catch.
Yeah,
they were on a plane to London at like 8 o'clock or
they
something.
Had places to go, people
so
to see.
They wanted to be first
we
on the main stage.
We explained it Wednesday, we explained it Thursday, and we explained it Saturday.
But if you still didn't listen and didn't go, you missed out.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
They were amazing.
They are incredible. They may be better than they were 7 years ago when they were doing their thing, right?
They were having a good time.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Love them so much. All right, time for the first Showbiz Beat of a brand new week here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, and nothing could have prepared us for what happened this weekend when The Avengers, which we all thought would be number one at the box office, just stomped all over the box office records on its way to earning $200 million in its domestic debut this weekend. It is the biggest opening weekend of all time for
Kevin, are you awake?
Picture.
Are you hearing that number?
Yeah, I am.
$200 million in a weekend.
The biggest opening weekend for a movie ever in history.
Because you were saying they were sort
150,
of...
150, 160.
They were hoping for like fourth or fifth. Or sixth. I forget how many were ahead of it. But wow, 200.
Yeah. The biggest record holder previous to that was $169 million last year's Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Destroyed it. That's
destroyed
a little bit of a
it.
Surprise, Ralph, because you told us on Friday that they did not set a record for the midnight showings.
They didn't.
And usually that's the head start on the weekend that really gets you going.
Yeah. I'll just stop the music now, thanks.
Apparently you're done.
Put it back. I'll stop it.
I'm going to put it back.
Wait,
stop it.
Should I be sitting in someone's chair right now?
All right. So here's the thing. They did it despite debuting in fewer theaters than The Hunger Games did.
No kidding.
Wow.
And yet it still was a monstrous opening. It's worldwide total, by the way, in case you're following such things. $641.8 million in just 12 days.
Oh, my God.
In 12 days.
Yeah, that's worldwide. So congratulations. Congratulations to the Avengers.
Backup music. Sorry, Ralph. It's all we had at our fingertips.
Hulk, Captain America, Thor. Here's the rest of the top 10. Think Like a Man, $8 million. As you can tell, everyone went to the Avengers this weekend.
Yeah.
Number three at the box office, The Hunger Games, $5.7 million. The Lucky One was fourth. Pirates, Band of Misfits was fifth. The Five-Year Engagement, The Raven, Safe, Chimpanzee, and The Three Stooges rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kristen Stewart has it all. She's got a fabulous career.
Great personality.
Great personality. Heartthrob boyfriend. But she was whining to Jay Leno last week that she punctured her foot while filming Breaking Dawn Part 2. And it is taking its toll on her fashion choices because she has to wear flats all the time
now. Oh, my God.
I had no idea she suffered so. And now I just want to give her a hug really tightly underwater for a long time. Amanda Bynes may want to consider getting a chauffeur.
Uh-oh, not again.
Not again.
After her DUI charges last month, she got into another hit-and-run accident Friday.
Oh, no.
Word is this time she swiped a Range Rover. I'm sorry. She swiped another vehicle in her Range Rover this time. She's said to be passing on the right and cooperated with police when they caught up with her. You don't pass on the right, by the way.
No,
it's ever. One of the rules of the road.
Yeah.
Amanda said she didn't realize she hit a car, and she got off without a ticket.
What?
Come on, police.
You know what? Give me your keys.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, no, give me your keys.
I'm driving.
Give me your keys. You're too drunk.
I'm okay.
Apparently, she wasn't loaded. She was just driving poorly.
Just a terrible driver? A
terrible driver. Good news for Showtime fans, if you like that show, The Borgias. The Borgias? The Borgias.
The Borgias.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. The most watched series on Showtime. It's been picked up for a third season, so that will be back. It beats Nurse Jackie and the Big C over there, which I didn't know. I thought those were the highest rated. And good news for all of us, TNT has announced they are renewing Southland for a fifth season.
Fantastic.
Show pulled in around 2.9 million viewers a week this season.
Suck it, NBC.
Pretty damn good. So the new next season debuts in February. That's all. We just have to wait till February.
Just wow. February, okay.
To get more Southlands. And No Doubt is finally ready to release that new album.
Nope.
Yep. They announced on Friday that the follow-up to Rock Steady, by the way, was their last album.
2001.
One?
Wow.
Follow-up to Rock Steady will be out on September the 25th. No title yet for the CD, but September the 25th, we'll have new No Doubt music.
All right, so Axl Rose, thank you.
It's going to happen.
We'll see.
It's announced.
We want it to happen.
It's for real, September 25th. Circle your calendars. Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 51 years old. Adult film actress Tracy Lords. Boy, she was good back in the day. Of course, many of the films she made, she was underage while she made them, so we really can't enjoy them anymore. But
never still. Did.
44 years old today. Eagle Eye Cherry. Well, it's okay to enjoy them because you didn't know at the time. And then afterwards we
you
all
didn't
found
know
out.
Is not a, that's not a defense, is it?
But you can say you enjoyed it because you didn't know at the time you were watching someone who was underage.
Okay, then we enjoyed it.
Yes. Eagle Eye Cherry, 41 years old today. Breckin Meyer, our buddy from Franklin and Bash, 38 years old today. Dodgers first baseman James Loney is 28 years old. And Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys celebrates his 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
When's that man going to play?
Seriously, no kidding.
Too long.
It's been forever.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after six.
Ralph has tickets for you to the premiere of Battleship this Thursday, coming up all throughout the show today. Plus, check this out. Just announced the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus together. That'll be September 8th at the Home Depot Center. We've got tickets for you later on today for that show and access to a private Linkin Park dress rehearsal. Who wants to see the guys in Linkin Park change, by the way?
That's no, that's weird. Not it. The dress rehearsal means it's a full-on stage rehearsal.
Oh.
So that's what that means.
Your chance to win coming up later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right. We have an issue to take care of. And
okay.
This happened, I can't remember if it was on Friday or Thursday, but the engineer walked into the office with a really all of the color had gone out of his face. I mean, he was totally just white, and he was staring off into the distance, and he said, I don't know what to make of this.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you're feeling positive
and
at
I
that
said,
moment.
I don't know what you're talking about. So he showed me this giant box that he sent Bean some radio equipment in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. And then Bean packed the box back up and sent it back.
Okay.
Okay. So now I'm going to come over there.
What the hell is going on here?
What did you do, Bean?
Sorry. I didn't even look in the box. I just packed it up. I mean, I just closed it up.
In the box, along with the equipment.
Oh, no.
It's a jar.
Of Vaseline, yeah.
A giant jar.
It is a jar of Vaseline, yeah.
A huge jar of petroleum jelly skin protectant.
Yes.
Was the lid off like that?
Yes.
When it came in the... And it's cracked, like it's been abused.
Yes.
Wow.
Like,
yes.
Someone really had to get in there.
So he came in and he said, I took out the equipment, but why is there petroleum jelly in the box?
See, you should have checked this with me before you brought it
over
here.
And I said, I don't know what Bean's doing with the equipment.
Because I would have told you there was a...
But it doesn't seem like it's fun.
I would have told you there's a very reasonable explanation for that.
What the hell?
I'm sure there is, and there's also the real reason.
Look, I had an engineer, I had a K-Rock engineer up at the house a couple of weeks ago.
And you guys hit it off?
Did you guys? Insert porn music.
First of all, he bought me lunch, so I thought it was the least I could do. Second of all, it was funny when he said, hey, do you have any Vaseline or petroleum jelly? And I said, why no? I'm married. Why would I need that? And he said, is there any way you could get some for me? So he sent me out to the store to buy it for him.
And you suspected nothing at first.
And by the way,
did you get condoms as well?
This is really hilarious, too, because...
Did you get condoms as well?
No. This is funny, though, because when you go into the store and the only thing you're there to buy is Vaseline...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a hurry.
You can't just buy that. You have to look for something else to buy so that it
like
doesn't look...
Like when you buy condoms.
Yes, yep. So that it doesn't look suspicious. So you find yourself walking around the store going, oh, I could use some staples, and oh, I could use some gummy bears, or whatever it is, just so you can kind of throw it on the counter there and not have it stand out, because there's nothing creepier than a guy walking in just for a jar of Vaseline.
Yeah,
meanwhile, the engineer's laying on your bed naked, waiting and waiting and waiting.
It wasn't like...
And
look,
waiting.
I understand that Vaseline is one of those household items that you can use for a million different reasons.
Right.
But I'd never heard of this use before, and he used it to...
Did it hurt?
He used it.
No, that's why you use it.
In the control board, he used it to slather on the ends of the little, what they call the pots on the control board, so that they slide in and out more easily. So that they're...
I'm sorry, what? They put it on something so it slides in and out more easily?
Yes, that is correct.
I don't understand.
Completely and perfectly innocent explanation as to why he asked me to get it.
And so why did you send it back?
Because it was just... I didn't even look
What's
in the box.
What's he going to do with it?
I didn't even look in the box. I mean, it was just in the box with all the tools. I mean, that's
so you're telling me that it was with the tool, and it was used
the tools
so
that they use for the controls. Yes.
Easier.
That's right. Yes, that is accurate. Yes, but of
but why did the engineer who
of broadcast equipment of nothing else? It was used for in some repairs because they had to take the control board apart, and it just makes it easier to take the control board apart if you're using Vaseline. And I had never heard of that before either.
That's creepy.
Struck me as an odd request.
Did he do it with his pants off?
Completely innocent. No, it was all above board.
Why would the engineer here not understand that, though?
I have no idea.
Because the engineers here are pretty good.
I have no idea. Maybe it's a trick of the trade that...
And he came in and he said, look, I don't know what to make of this, and I don't want to deal with it. He literally left the box and ran.
But as you can see, it's a brand new bottle or jar, whatever it is, of Vaseline. I mean,
you had to go out and buy more, though, to replace your stash.
It's barely been used.
Right.
I'm sorry it's not a more exciting answer. I'm sorry.
I don't believe your answer is the thing.
Well, you can check with the engineer, and he'll tell you.
I'd like to check with the engineer, because I think he's probably limping today. That's all I'm saying.
Hey!
I'm just saying, none of our engineers knew anything about that.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday at 106.7 KRQ. That is Green Day with three new albums coming out within the next 9 months or so. So if you're a Green Day fan, it's a good time to be so. Saturday night, we didn't see it because we were at the Weenie Rose, but Eli Manning was your host for SNL for the first time. I think Peyton, his big brother, has done it a couple of times.
I thought Eli's done it before, no?
This was Eli's first, and of course, he's a crowd favorite. The audience loved him because he brought the Super Bowl Super Bowl win to the city.
But he is a mouth breather.
Well, he was a pretty good sport. They put him in a lot of sketches, and here's a little taste of Eli Manning's monologue from SNL.
I grew up in New Orleans, went to school in Mississippi, but I gotta say, I finally feel like a real New Yorker. It took a few years, but now I'm an expert. So if there are any tourists here tonight, I'd be glad to answer your questions.
Hi, my wife and I thought we'd see a Broadway show.
You have any recommendations?
Cats. You gotta see Cats. It's Cats who can sing.
And is that still even playing?
I don't know. I saw the ad on TV when I was a kid. It was so great. You know what? Even if it's not playing, do what I do. Put the Cats soundtrack on your iPod, then go to the pet store and look at some cats. It's like you're watching a bunch of singing cats.
Not the strongest delivery of any host I've ever heard on SNL, but by all accounts, he had a good time. Eli Manning.
Well, that's all that's important is that he had a good time.
Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Eli, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you having a morning today?
Eli, you're not on SNL right now. You can just talk normally.
But they have written down everything for me to say to you here on this card.
Yeah, it is kind of...
Hello, how are you, Kevin and also Bean?
It did not do you any favors by having you read all of your material. At least I get the impression when you do commercials and your commercials on TV are funny, at least you've memorized your lines for those.
Live! From your studio, it is Monday morning.
Right. You don't have to read those anymore.
How has your morning been going so far for you today?
It's going fine. You don't have to read those cards anymore, Eli. You can just talk to us.
Just talk to us. Just normal, like you always do.
I am being normal.
Okay.
Oh, this is sad.
You should enjoy also talking to me on the phone.
So, Eli, one of the bits that you did was one of those fake SNL commercials where you were a for-hire Big Brother bully, and it was kind of a jab at Peyton a little bit, where you basically went around to kids who were being bullied by their older brothers and did mean things to them. Do you remember that one?
Yeah!
There's our Eli. Oh. He's back.
That was the best one.
There was a little bit of a revenge going on. In fact, I think you put one of the kids in a trunk and closed it and called him Peyton when you did it.
Yeah! Then I broke another kid's neck and called him Peyton, too.
What? Well, that's just mean.
They didn't film that part. I just broke a kid's neck.
Oh, that was just an unfortunate injury
that's
for
like
your
I
brother.
I did with kittens when I was a kid. I tried to pet them and I'd break their neck.
No, Eli.
Don't tell us
I'm
that.
I'm too strong.
Don't talk like that.
I'm retard strong.
You are. That's true.
You had a little bit of trouble with the cue cards, though. Were you uncomfortable? Was it hard for you?
Why do you say that? I am good reader.
Okay.
Because you sound like me, and that's never good.
Yeah, they didn't tell me they were going to write them in English.
Well, I don't know what you were expecting. That's pretty much how everybody rolls out there.
I need it written in Eli.
Oh, Eli. That's a little tougher. They sound the words out for you and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, I got
you. And then I wear a helmet and I just have someone talking to me in my ear.
They tell you what to do right there in your headset.
But I couldn't hear any voices in my head on the stage.
Yeah. Because you weren't wearing a helmet.
I know.
Yeah. Eli, did you get a chance to spend very much time with Rihanna, your musical guest, Saturday night?
I didn't.
You did not? Okay.
You should have. She's
very pretty.
She's pretty.
She looks too breakable.
Breakable?
Breakable? What do you mean?
Very fragile. Small and thin.
Well, she's not a linebacker like you're used to playing with.
Yeah, I'm used to big, beefy men.
Okay, right. But there's nothing wrong with spending time with a delicate female as well, though.
No, she looked very delicate. I was nervous around her like I'd break her.
Okay.
But then I heard she could take a punch, so maybe I shouldn't have heard that.
Oh, see, Eli.
Yeah. I heard it. That's what I heard.
Come on.
I heard it.
Come on. Your hot wife was in the audience, though. She's really pretty, Eli.
Yeah.
She's really pretty.
I've had sex with her.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
I had someone take photos and document it. I sent them to Eli.
You sent them to Eli? What do you mean?
You are Eli.
I know. I sent them to myself so I would say, hey, look, there's me having sex.
Oh, okay.
There's proof.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
I could, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then
if I ever forgot, I could just look at them.
And then a bunch of your teammates showed up to support you, too, which I thought was nice.
Yes. All of them were there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know their names.
You don't know any of their names?
No.
You should probably learn those.
I'm the quarterback.
Right. But they're your linemen. They protect your life.
They're interchangeable.
I see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, it seems like all in all, it was just okay.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It wasn't
good.
What you mean. It wasn't good.
But right. Look, for me, it was good.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
Because I have a mental disability.
Well, we don't like to say that. We like to treat you like a regular, normal person, Eli.
Don't.
Okay.
Treat me special.
Oh, okay. Well, you are special.
I like it better.
Okay.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock presents the Honda Civic Tour with Lincoln Park and Incubus. That's a pretty good bill, right?
That's a fantastic bill.
Two headliners. September 8th at Home Depot Center. Listen every hour for your chance to score tickets and access to a private Lincoln Park dress rehearsal.
And we have those tickets for you on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. So good deal. Speaking of concerts, Saturday was the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. Thanks to everybody who came out. I know I said this before. I don't know what we could have done differently or better because every band brought it. Every band was great. If there was a downside, it was that everybody was not feeling like partying because of what happened on Friday.
Right.
Because of losing Adam Yauch from Beastie Boys. I mean, you could feel it. I mean, have you ever seen more Beastie Boys shirts in one place in your life?
Crazy.
Including at a Beastie Boys concert?
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it's like he was on everybody's mind. And, you know, we were lucky enough to, Kevin and I, to have interviewed the Beastie Boys many times over the years and had them play in the Weenie Roast a few years ago, too. And they're just one of the greatest bands of all time. And it's so amazing when you think about how, you know, almost every 25-year-old loves the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Almost every 50-year-old loves the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
How many bands do you think of that are like that?
Very few.
Decades.
Very few.
Decades. They continue to make new fans.
Can I tell you my last memory of MCA?
Yes.
It's a touching tribute.
Yes.
It was a Lakers-Celtics game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a Laker fan, you have to hate the Celtics. You don't have an option. That's just the way you're born.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting next to MCA, and I said, you're from New York, right? I mean, that's a Boston.
Yeah, he should hate Boston more than you do.
Not your team, right? And he said, I'm a Celtics fan.
How did that happen?
I don't know, but you know how I flip people off and actually put it right in their face and touch them?
Is that what you did?
That's the last thing that I ever...
You giving him the middle finger?
Me giving him the middle finger and actually tapping him in the forehead with it.
And what did he do? What was his reaction
to that? He laughed because he knows. He's in Lakerland, you know?
Oh, my God.
He knows.
That's hilarious.
So that's my touching tribute to MCA.
Well, a lot of people made reference to, even directly on stage at the Weenie Roast on Saturday, including the Dirty Heads, who changed up the lyrics to one of their songs to reflect the influence the Beastie Boys had on them.
So, if you guys cannot tell, the Beastie Boys had a very, very, very large influence in this band. I would say 90% of the reason that we're on this stage is those guys. I want you guys to do me a favor. This next song, Believe, the opening lines, we give a shout out to the Beastie Boys, Ad-Rock, Mike D, and MCA. And I want to show you guys that first line. Because when we say MCA up here, I want every single person to shout it so loud that Ad-Rock and Mike D can hear it, all right?
Who'd have thought that I could ever turn out this way? I'm blaming Ad-Rock, Mike D, and MCA.
Yeah!
Yeah! They're beer mug.
Beer mug. And then Pennywise, they did a couple of things from the stage, including dedicating one of their most popular songs to MCA.
This song goes out to Adam. Beastie Boys, one of the greatest bands of our generation. Sing the out for him.
I had heard that Pennywise was going to do Fight for Your Right as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they did that, they dedicated Brohim to him, and I thought, well, maybe they're not going to do it now.
Right.
But then they went on and did Fight for Your Right.
Give him a fight for your right!
In a very, very Pennywise way.
Yes. It was about twice as fast as the Beastie Boys version. By the way, let's talk about Fletcher for 1 second.
Yeah.
Every time I think Fletcher is done being Fletcher, he continues to be Fletcher.
He's never going
to
be done being Fletcher.
Well, I always feel like you do enough vomiting on Loveline, you do enough getting arrested at Universal. I feel like at some point you go, I can't continue to do this at my age.
And he kind of sounds like he's trying to not do it.
No, that's the impression I get.
You're
like,
both high.
When we've had him on the show, it seemed like he'd grown up a little bit. And he understands that there's such thing as excess.
Negative.
But at one point, I'm backstage, and he was being interviewed. The band was being interviewed by Nicole Alvarez. And then Fletcher gets up. And by the way, he, during that interview, did nothing but talk about the Beastie Boys, too. I mean, it was definitely very heavy on his mind. But then he gets up, and he's got like a bottle of whiskey or something. And he's just pouring it into the open mouths of the crowd.
God.
Like they're birds. And
like they're little birds, right. It was unbelievable. Like wherever Fletcher goes, that's where the party goes.
I have a backstage video of Fletcher that I haven't had a chance to put up yet because our internet doesn't work. But I will a little bit later today. And I don't understand why or how it happened, but it's a video of Fletcher getting ready and letting some guy hit him in the stomach as hard as he can.
He's doing the Houdini?
I guess. I don't know. He's trying to join Jackass? I don't know. I don't understand half the stuff Fletcher ends up doing, but I have the video and I haven't had a chance to put it up yet.
He's unbelievable.
I got
those,
that.
Those guys brought it, though.
And I also have a photo gallery that's up at krock.com, kevinandbean.com, and a video of a special needs dancer in front of me. I don't think he's really special needs, but the way he danced was special needs, so I videotaped him for about 2 hours.
Excellent.
Isn't Broham, by the way, if they ever put out a compilation album or video of the 10 best songs that you want to hear at a Weenie Rose,
yes.
Isn't Broham
him
on that list?
Yeah,
like, is anything better than seeing 15,000 people or whatever it is all singing that song?
No, and that's why none of us could understand why when we did contests last week, you people couldn't get
no
it.
No one could get it.
I had people come up to me at the Weenie Roast going, I was screaming in my car. I couldn't believe nobody could get Broham. Unbelievable. So they did Fight for Your Right, and it was, and I want you to understand the spirit that this is taken in. It was horrible.
What, Pennywise's version of
Yeah,
right?
Terrible.
It seemed a little unrehearsed.
But I loved it because it was so Pennywise.
It was.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't care and it was all over and they were having a great time.
Well, let's just do it.
In their defense.
And so I loved it.
In their defense, they probably winged it.
Probably.
That day, they probably never played that song before and I heard them working it out in rehearsal and they probably said, hey, let's try this. And it's got to be tough to play a song you've never played before.
Again, it's not a criticism because I didn't see it as a negative. I saw it as Pennywise.
Right.
That's
right.
Just Pennywise being Pennywise. But that was great. And then Coldplay came out. And Coldplay, by the way, was fantastic, as was Incubus. Coldplay came out, and they did Fight for Your Right. And a little bit of a different version than Pennywise.
Well, you wake up late for school, man, you don't want to go.
Pennywise was already done with their Fight for Your Right at this point.
And you ask your mom, please, but she still says no. Cause you missed two classes and no one won. And your teacher preaches class like it's some kind of germ. You gotta fight for your right.
If you had come to me,
yeah, me
at the beginning of the day and said, which band is least likely to do a B-Side song, I would have said Coldplay.
But we heard that they had done it at the Hollywood Bowl, and they handed out a bunch of bracelets and stuff, and they did it there. So both bands did it, and the Dirty Heads talked about it, and it was pretty much on everybody's mind. It was a
major loss for K-Rock. You know, they're one of the probably five biggest bands we've ever played, and a major loss for music fans everywhere. I mean, it's a band we all grew up with. Super sad. You know, I have told the story, and I'll just briefly. One of the worst radio experiences I ever had in my life was trying to interview the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, this was during their We Don't Want to Do Interviews
This
phase.
Was back when they were just punks. You know, basically, they were touring with Run DMC, and I had the opportunity to interview them, and I was green, man. I think I would be better equipped to handle it now.
But just barely.
I was no way equipped to handle it then, and they sprayed water from water bottles on me while I was trying to interview them.
Oh my
I mean,
God.
It was that bad.
Oh,
and of course, they wouldn't answer any of my questions, and they had the little jokes in between themselves. They were talking to each other and just mocking me, and I just slinked away because I felt like I was a baby DJ at this point. I felt like I had all this pressure on me to get a good interview because they were a big band, and I was so excited to be the guy, and I just felt like I was such a fail.
We've interviewed them several times where they sabotaged the interview. No pun intended. On purpose. I mean, that's they love doing that.
Yes.
And then you just twist in the wind, man. You want it to be good.
I know.
You want everybody to love the Beastie Boys because you love the Beastie Boys, and they're just effing with
but
you.
But remember, we had them in studio a couple of years ago, and I told them the story about how miserable they made me, and I thought they would go, well, you know, we were young, and we were kids, and we didn't understand the media.
No,
but they were like, oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad we did that. That was so funny. I'm so glad you told me that. I love that we did that to you. So anyway, so the only revenge I get is that you got to flip off MCA, I guess, at the basketball game.
But I did. Well, you shouldn't have been a Celtics fan. That's all I'm saying.
Apparently so. Anyway, great time at the Weenie Roast. And, of course, there's a tremendous amount of recaps up at krock.com. You can go almost all of the interviews that were done that day are up there.
including if you really want to feel bad for Kevin and Bean, listen to us try to talk to Of Monsters and Men. That's up on the side. All sorts of pictures and video and just great stuff. They were really all over it in the web department. But what a fantastic evening it was.
It was, and it was great. And thanks for everybody for coming out. We raised a lot of money for charity, and it's very much appreciated. What's that? Yes, the Kings did sweep the Blues. Thanks for asking.
Congratulations to you Kings fans and to the Kings. Remarkable series. And boy, they're playing the best hockey of any team in the playoffs right now.
Unbelievable.
Bar none.
Hey, you win five playoff games in a row. That doesn't happen very often for any team.
They are winning convincingly, too, by the way.
Yes, put it away early.
These are not games that are decided, last in overtime in the last second. They are dominating.
It's so sweet, too, because we've had some lean years.
20 years since the last time they got this far in the playoffs, right?
There's been some tough times.
It's a long time. Rob's here. How are the Flyers doing, by the way? Where are they?
They're struggling. They're 3-1 now against the Jersey Devils.
That's tough.
And the games have gone down to the wire, but the Jersey is just playing smothering hockey right now. They just can't get out of their own zone, the Flyers, and the forecheck of the Devils is very strong. So I don't see them getting out of this series. Sadly.
You do have the 76ers, though. They're
Sixers
in the playoffs.
Are surprising everybody.
They're in the playoffs,
but
at least.
They're playing a depleted Chicago, so they won't get very far either.
Right.
But it's tough times for Flyers fans, but. Look, they destroyed Pittsburgh, so that was fun. That was fun to watch. We'll always have that. They can't take that away.
Just that one game, 10-3. That's all you got to hang on to. Yeah.
Forever, right? That's good for another 20 years of bragging in the state.
Yeah.
All right, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. And it was expected the Avengers would come out number one, but nobody saw $200 million in its opening weekend.
I can't get my head around that, Ralph.
That's the biggest opening weekend of all time for any movie ever.
$200 million is what they hope for all of the movies in release in a weekend.
Yeah,
they have
much.
A great weekend if $200 million is made, and this is just one movie.
And that's pretty much how it turned out, because the rest of the... Let's give you an example. The second highest grossing film at the box office
$150 million
was $8 million.
Eight.
So if you add them all up, the top ten, it's roughly $200 million.
So 200,
just a little bit over
eight.
And those people only went to see that because Avengers was sold out.
Yeah, must have happened. Avengers just a huge blockbuster worldwide. Its total after this weekend, because remember it was released in the UK and Australia and a couple other places a week before it came out here in the States, $641.8 million in 12 days.
Crazy. I guess that's all right.
Crazy. Fastest movie ever to make $100 million, $150 million, and $200 million. So it's setting all kinds of box office records.
Do you think they'll make a sequel?
No, I think it's it. They're done.
Joss Whedon is the new king of the world. Suck it, James Cameron.
Yeah, he can do pretty much anything he wants now, Joss. Think Like a Man was number two at the box office, as I mentioned, with $8 million. Then Hunger Games, The Lucky One, and Pirates Band of Misfits. The bottom six, or the bottom five of the top ten, rather, number six, The Five-Year Engagement, The Raven, Safe, Chimpanzee, and The Three Stooges, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Ted Nugent is speaking out.
Good. He's crazy.
He is crazy. He got into a bit of hot water after an interview with CBS. I'll play that for you in a minute, but he's talking about it now with his friends over there on some right-wing radio broadcast, saying the reason he went off on the reporter is because the left consistently wants to paint him as a nasty man who wants to rape your puppy, he said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I don't know if we
want to need to go that far.
Oh.
He said, they'll tell you I'm going to threaten the president's life, that I'm a mean, nasty man who wants to rape your puppy, he told radio host Mike Broomhead. Here's the interview. Apparently, he was talking to a CBS reporter, and he claimed to the CBS reporter, I am a moderate.
Moderate?
Yes.
Wow.
And the reporter, rightly so, came back with, people have described you in a lot of ways, Ted, but nobody really has ever called you a moderate. Here is Ted's response to that.
I'm an extremely loving, passionate man, and people who investigate me honestly, without the baggage of political correctness, ascertain the conclusion that I'm a damn nice guy. And if you can find a screening process more powerful than that, how's that sound?
Yeah. He said, I'll S your D to the reporter.
He sounds moderate.
And turned to his female producer and said, or I'll F you. How does that sound?
What? Is he genuinely insane?
Yeah, I believe he is.
Has he lost
to which the reporter said, I stand corrected. You are moderate, sir. Yes, you seem like a very even-keeled gentleman.
He should have called his bluff and just unzipped.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, they're just lucky he didn't show up to that interview with a crossbow.
Yeah, he was in fatigues.
Yeah. Or How's that sound?
It does not sound good to anyone.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love crazy people.
Even he can't say I'm moderate, right?
No, listen.
He can't say that out loud.
I hate politics.
Unless he's a lunatic.
He's a lunatic, no question. He probably believes he's a moderate.
Compared to who, though?
I don't know.
I mean, Hitler? Only, right?
Yeah. And we were busy under the full moon watching the Weenie Roast on Saturday night when Floyd Mayweather and Miguel Cotto got into the ring. Apparently, it was a very good fight. That's what people are saying. It was a pretty good fight.
Kevin, you saw a bunch of it backstage. What'd you think?
Typical.
I just hate Mayweather so much because it seems like he can fight better, and he's not. And he's like likes to dance around. I just hate him.
Oh no, he's a hit and run artist.
I hate him.
He doesn't go to toe unless he has to. But apparently, Cotto had some good body shots and kept.
Is he undefeated though, Mayweather?
Yeah.
He's still undefeated. Fights smart, I guess. Even though he doesn't fight excitedly,
he doesn't get hit a lot.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up, though, is because he's got a new member to his entourage. I don't know if you saw this or not.
This was unbelievable. I saw it just before we interviewed Soundgarden, which we're going to play for you in about a half hour. And
you saw who walked into the ring with him.
Yes, and I was like, there's no way that's fill in the blank. There's no way, no way, no way.
We're used to seeing his best buddy, 50 Cent, with him.
Right.
Wrestler Triple H also joined him.
Lil Wayne was there, part of the entourage.
Lil Wayne was also part of the entourage. I think the surprise for everyone, though, was that Justin Bieber showed up in his new rockabilly haircut, carrying two of Mayweather's championship belts on his shoulders.
Barely carrying them, by the way, struggling to lift them as he
walked in with the gang. And then when the fight was over, he was quick to leap into the ring with the rest of their entourage and celebrate his buddy.
We won!
Yeah. Oh, he was co-signing all over Mayweather's loan after that fight was over. So now he really is black. He's right. He is. The Beast.
Hate him so much.
When you think he can't do anything more douchey, he ups the ante of douchosity.
He's the douche king.
He is the douche king.
Should have heard us. We were watching it backstage, and you should have heard the office like that. No, that's not just no possible way. That's Justin Bieber. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh my God! I was sitting there with Tim Armstrong, who's one of the nicest guys in the world, and I turned around, and looked at him, and he said Justin Bieber, and I said yeah, and he just shook his head. No.
He's hardcore now. He's a hardcore gangster, yo.
He's none of that.
He is. He's a Canadian gangster. Today's celebrity birthdays. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 51 years old today. Adult film actress and then mainstream actress Tracy Lords is 44 years old. Eagle Eye Cherry celebrates his 41st birthday.
Can I ask how this list is prepared?
Come on, Eagle Eye!
I'm just curious.
You gotta love some Eagle Eye.
Do
you
I? Don't.
And his sister, Nana, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I love the whole Cherry family. I love Canadian hockey legend Don Cherry. I love all the Cherries.
But does it make the birthday list still, really?
Hell yeah.
Eagle Eye. His song was what, 1990 maybe?
I don't know. Does it make it not great?
Okay, I'm just saying.
By the way, Bean did not make a mistake when he said song singular.
Yeah,
song.
Save Tonight. That was the big Eagle Cherry number one hit. But I'm just wondering how many people out there are going, oh my God, I didn't know it was Eagle Eye's birthday. Thanks, Ralph.
Now they have a chance to go out and buy a card. They wouldn't have had that otherwise. Brecken Meyer is 38 years old. Dodgers first baseman James Loney is 28 years old. And Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Saturday night at the Weenie Roast, we had a surprise band. You didn't hear about this ahead of time. It wasn't in the lineup. It wasn't on the website. But the stage turned, and there was Soundgarden. And Kevin and I got a chance to interview Chris Cornell and Matt Cameron from the band immediately after they came on off stage to find out what they thought about it, how much fun it was for them, and what's up for Soundgarden. So we'll play that for you coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
So the Avengers made $200 million.
Made all the money in the world ever.
Which is crazy. And they've been doing a lot of press. A lot of the actors have been doing a lot of press about how they studied for their characters, most of them going back to the comic books and reading them and figuring out what was going on. Well, Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury, said he didn't do it that way. He said he watched David Hasselhoff. And I was not aware of this, but apparently there was a TV movie where David Hasselhoff played Nick Fury from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Then why didn't he get the job for the big screen version of the movie?
And Samuel Jackson said, I watched David Hasselhoff and decided I was not going to do any of that. So basically, he watched him so he would know what not to do.
Oh, that's cold, Sam.
No, it's not.
How are you coming at the Hoff like that?
Listen to the Hoff as Nick Fury. This is the first clip that we have.
From 1998, this was a TV movie.
Well, unfortunately, Pierce, you're going to have to tell S.H.I.E.L.D. to shovel up their collective enzymes. They put me out to pasture 5 years ago.
Didn't they brief you on that particular piece of intel?
So these orders come from the president himself?
President?
Yes, sir.
Answer's the same. Now,
Why don't you take your blow dryer and get the hell out of my afternoon sun?
Yeah! So wait, so you're suggesting, Kevin, just so I understand, before we go to the Hoff here on the phone, you believe that Samuel L. Jackson is a better actor than David Hasselhoff?
I didn't say that. I said he studied Hasselhoff's performance and said, I'm not doing that.
Hoff, welcome back to the Kevin Abeen Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, you're welcome, everybody. All you Avengers fans, you're welcome.
For what? You didn't do
because
anything.
Hoff taught Sam Jackson how to play Nick Fury.
Well, Samuel Jackson said he watched your performance and then decided
you're
to go
welcome.
A, decided no, to go a different
right.
way.
Yeah, you taught him how not to play.
Hoff.
Right.
Yeah, Nick Fury, the Hoff, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, but what Samuel L. Jackson said is he decided to go the opposite way from the way you played it, and that's
one way to look at it, I guess.
How well, else can you look at it?
That's his story.
I look at it the other way.
Okay, all right, all right.
I look at it that he said, I watched David Hasselhoff.
To prepare
dot,
for
dot,
my role.
Dot, dot, dot.
Oh, I see.
And then
okay.
I stopped reading.
And decided I was not going to do any of that.
The Hoff can hear you.
I see. So, Mr. Hasselhoff.
Nick Fury, please.
Nope.
I'm Nick Fury,
you
are Agent
not.
Of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You're really not. No one remembers you as Nick Fury.
Everyone I'm like Adam West is to Batman. That's I'm to Nick Fury.
Incorrect.
Everyone remembers the original TV Nick Fury with a lot of love and a lot of appreciation.
That
and
is...
let me say, you're welcome.
Did you
Coach
think
no one was saying thank you?
Did you think there was a chance
welcome,
you would get to
way.
Reprise your role as Nick Fury from the TV?
Nick Fury is what Bean just said.
And do the movie? Did you think that they might call you up for the movie as well?
I was hoping to play Brian Fury. And I'll get it.
Phone's ringing.
But Nick Fury, I thought maybe there was a chance I'd go and play it in the Avengers. But you know how it is.
Yeah.
White man can't get a job in Hollywood.
No,
well,
black man way better actor
it's
than white man.
All blacks these days.
That's just not true.
White guy can't. Tyler Perry won't hire me.
Okay, but David
Hasselhoff. Wasn't in Steve Harvey's Think Like a Man.
No, I know, but everybody else in the Avengers is white. I mean, obviously,
not the Hulk.
Captain America, well, he's green. That's
that's
a good point.
but it's also
fantastic.
You know how you said you could look
at
things?
How do I get those tickets for that Weenie Rose? You guys got that concert coming up?
Sure.
Yeah, Pop
come on
loves
by.
Loves to rock.
Come pick them up anytime.
That was Saturday.
Swing
was,
on by.
It's 2 days
I am
ago.
Nick Fury.
You're not Nick Fury. Sam Jackson is Nick Fury.
No
one's saying thank you.
$200 million because of the Hoff.
No.
Well done, Hoff.
Imagine where your career would be right now, today, if you really had played Nick Fury in the movie and it was that successful. It would be a complete rebirth for your career.
Yep. I might be doing iPhone commercials. Oh,
true.
Siri, where could I get organic mushrooms?
Yep.
Oh,
right.
Maybe I'll find
you.
Them in my vagina.
So now you're mocking Sam Jackson for that, too.
My Nick Fury was a real man, okay? Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If that's the case, I would guess they would continue to use you.
Hold on. I need a drink.
Right. Oh, don't. No. It's too early for you to be drinking, Hoff.
Oh,
come on.
That's pretty good. Hold on a second.
No, but we know how this is going to end now. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm Nick Fury, bitches.
You're not Nick.
You're
Nick
welcome.
It's Samuel Jackson. And no one's saying thank you. We're not calling
you
to
are.
Say thank
you're
you.
You're calling to say good job, Nick Fury.
Okay, it's getting back late.
I'm saying this is a mess.
It's already ugly. How does alcohol affect you so
angry.
Fast?
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
You're not the Hulk
That's
either.
Not you. That's not you either, Hoff.
I'm not the Hulk. I'm the Hoff. Okay. Hoff smash.
You don't have anything to do with this
movie. Nick Fury.
All you have to do with the Avengers is you could have gone to see it this weekend if you could find a theater that it wasn't sold out in.
I couldn't get in.
Oh, that's just sad.
I couldn't get in.
Oh, Hoff. I'm sorry.
This is a mess.
We're not trying to make you feel bad. We just wanted to talk.
I'm Nick Fury.
You're not
Nick Fury.
I'm Nick Fury. I'm Nick Fury.
What?
I am Nick Fury.
No, that's Samuel Jackson, and he did a great job of being Nick Fury.
Oh, Siri, oh, where can I buy some mushrooms? Oh, bite me.
He did do that commercial, yeah. What's happening? No, don't have any more.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, you better
stop. No, never forgets me. Vodka.
Vodka never does forget you.
Vodka loves me no matter
that
how.
Is,
what movies I'm in.
Are not in.
Are not in.
Yeah. That is your best friend. All right, listen.
Okay, fantastic.
All right. We got to go, but we'll see you at the Weenie Roast, Hoff. We're looking forward to it.
Nick Fury
is who Samuel L. Jackson played, right?
Yep. Right, but that's not you.
Average.
Right.
Thanks, Hoff.
Saturday night, HBO aired the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And that band right there, Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of the groups that was inducted. Some very emotional speeches, including Flea, who I think cried a little bit up there, talking about his band members and everything. It was a very nice moment. And they, of course, replay that. If you're a Chili Peppers fan, you want to see them. And they performed live on the show as well. Also Saturday night, we were at Irvine, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Rosie Fiesta with a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, Soundgarden was a surprise. We didn't tell anybody. We didn't put it on the bill. We didn't want anybody to know. Every once in a while, we would just like to turn the stage and have somebody be there.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, it was Soundgarden. And the fans went crazy, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And then Bean and I went backstage, and we had a chance to chat with the boys.
Backstage, 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta. So, Kevin, am I right about this? The stage turns. Everybody thinks it's The Offspring. And then it's not.
It wasn't?
It wasn't The Offspring. That's what I'm telling you. It was Soundgarden.
And you know what? I don't know how that works when you're in Orange County and they're expecting The Offspring and then they don't get them. And it doesn't matter.
Chris, you disappointed a lot of people tonight.
I feel like we
That's
did.
What I'm saying.
Who is that? They're like,
they're not from Orange County.
No.
And Matt is here, too. We are backstage. Hi. It was a surprise. And I think, I mean, tell me what you guys could see from the stage, because no one knew you were coming.
Yeah, well, this is a really cool amphitheater. We played here a bunch of times at the Lollapalooza tour. And so it ramps up really steep, so you can kind of see the people out there.
It's
you can see the vast amount of people, which is awesome.
Is it weird to be on the stage as it turns and then people sort of recognize you as it goes across?
Yeah, that was fun, though.
It's probably like, you know, like the 50s review type stage shows they used to do where they're, you know, like a band would set up.
All we're missing is a guy with a hook.
Yeah, you know, or a gong.
Well, Soundgarden came out. They opened with Spoon Man, and about 15 seconds in, when people realized what was happening, they just lost their basically is what happened.
Hey, watch your language.
Kevin, you have evidence of what was going on in the audience here that you wanted to show the guys.
I'm going to put this picture up, but I want to show you this woman right when you started. She sat down and she plugged her ears as tightly as she could, and she could not keep your music
She never heard worse noise in her life than when you came on the stage.
We call that running for cover.
But it was amazing. It's so awesome to have you. Was this a tough secret to keep? I know that, you know, we've been sworn to secrecy. Did you guys, like, not blab? Because it seemed like it was pretty well a secret.
I told whoever asked what I was doing today.
Nice work.
Thanks.
And then you tweeted it. Yeah. Hope that wasn't a problem, right?
Yeah. No, it seemed like it was a pretty well-kept secret.
Now, this is great that we're talking to you guys today because a lot of our audience went to see the Avengers movie this weekend. And they saw your song, of course, at the end of the film. Have you guys seen it with an audience yet?
Yes. Yeah, we went to the premiere
a
couple weeks ago, I guess.
Yep. When the L.A. premiere.
Because I remember when we talked to you, Chris, when we world premiered the brand new song. And Matt, you were in a coma or something somewhere in Germany. So we didn't get to have you on the call there. But I remember you telling us all about the song and stuff. And you had seen kind of advances of the film while you were writing the song. But now you get to see the whole thing together with an audience and see you being part of it.
Yeah, it was great. We were like super happy. Because, I mean, I felt pretty confident that it was going to be a great film. But then actually seeing it, it was even better than we thought it would be. And it's always a little bit scary to be associated with something that gigantic, you know, because you don't want to be embarrassed. And it was just such a great thing that all four of us were sitting there watching it. And we were all kind of excited about watching a comic book hero film. And by the end, we thought it was great. You
but
know?
When they ask you to do it, though, you don't know if it's going to be good or not. They could have ruined that movie, and then there you are.
Well, we did see, we saw, like, all of the footage they could show that doesn't have CGI, which is about 11 minutes.
and
the acting and the dialogue was great, and it just felt like it's going to be
good.
Do
you deal with Joss Whedon himself when you're doing music for one of his movies?
No, we didn't. He was the last guy to actually have a say. There was like producers and there was you know, there was just kind of the music side of it, music supervisor. It was up to him to say yes or no, and he was happy about it, but we didn't
sit ultimately up to Robert Downey
Jr.
He
didn't say,
though.
You know, you gotta I feel like that
he's a rocker.
Is
really?
Not untrue. Honestly. I think
he was an LA punker.
I think he pumped it up a little bit.
Well, it's a great fit, though. I mean, Kevin, you're going back. I know you're going back.
I can't wait to see it again.
You love it. All right, real quick, remaining moments. We're talking with Matt and Chris from the band Soundgarden. They were at the Weenie Roast. Sorry we didn't tell you in advance. It was a secret. When we talked to you, you said the record was pretty much done, right?
Yeah, it's
what's
it's days away.
What's the status here?
We just finished mixing it. And
does it suck?
It does not suck.
Great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's good news.
That's what we were hoping for.
Best possible news.
A non-sucky record.
And when you say days away,
Well,
700 days
we're not going to release it in a few days, but it's but it will be done. Done.
Right.
Finished.
Well, okay, so, let's re-ask the question. When can we hear your music?
Sometime in... You'll probably hear it sometime in the end of the summer or okay. September.
Well, that's nice. Oh, you too? You'll hear it soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, fantastic.
You know what? You too. Yeah. We want to hear you guys.
And you know what? Here's the funny thing. The more you guys play it on your show, the more you hear it, which is cool.
That's a good point.
That is actually
you have control
true.
Like over what you hear.
But we'd like to hear more than just that one song, even though
of
that
course.
One song is great.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll I'm going to have to break you two up. Come
Thanks
on.
Playing it.
Thanks for being here. Had a great time seeing you at the Wiener Roast. You guys are the best, and let's do it again, okay?
Thank you very much.
Hey, how about the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus together? That's happening September the 8th at the Home Depot Center. We've got tickets you can win coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Plus, we'll also give you tickets to a private Linkin Park dress rehearsal. Details and more on that at krock.com. Hey, let's toga a little bit, shall we?
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and down, throw my hands up and down, throw my head back and down, come on.
Jump in now.
Oh, sorry.
You hear that music and you think of toga parties and fraternities in college and the movie Animal House. And that is one of the all-time classic comedies. There is a book out now called Fat, Drunk, and Stupid, the inside story behind the making of Animal House. And Maddie Simmons, who wrote the book, is on the phone with us. Hey, Mr. Simmons, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you,
How
sir?
How are you? You play my song.
That is your song. I enjoyed the book very much. I had a chance to sit down with it and read it over the weekend. Why the rush, first of all, to write an Animal House book about a movie that came out in 1978?
You know, it happened in a very mysterious way. I was sitting at a table with my literary agent, and he turned to me and said, "Why don't you write a book about the making of Animal House?" I said, "Okay."
See, show business is mysterious.
Wow.
It was interesting. When we got the pitch for your book, I love Animal House, but I grew up with Animal House. But we asked in the room with people from, you know, age 18 up, we said, "Animal House, you guys?" Every person, man or woman, no matter what age they are, raised their hand and said, "Seen it, love it, love to hear about it."
You know, every survey ever taken, including one about 2 weeks ago by the Boston Globe, picked it as the number one comedy of all time. Everybody of every age is on to it.
So in other words, it continues to play on television, continues to attract new fans year after year after year. It's not a movie that has been gotten forgotten.
It's been astounding. No other movie has ever matched it in longevity, and, you know, obviously very proud of it.
We talk a lot these days, especially with our job, Mr. Simmons, about the box office. I mean, it seems
Call me Maddie.
Maddie, all right. Okay. It seems like the public more than ever is so familiar with money and Hollywood. In today's dollars, in 2012 dollars, how much did it cost you to make Animal House, and how much did it make?
Well, in 1977 dollars, it cost $2.8 million to make it. Today, I guess it would be about $10
million. All right.
Okay. All in over the years, when you figure the retail sales of video and theatrical and so on, it's grossed about $600
million.
God knows. I'm afraid to look.
I'd say that's a pretty good return on your investment.
Yeah, and Universal's investment.
And this was the first movie many people associated with the film had ever made, right? Or close to it. I mean, it was at the beginning of career.
It was the first one I had ever made, and my associate, Ivan Reitman, had made a couple of pictures in Canada for about $37. The director had made, I hired him off a screening of a picture called Kentucky Fried Movie.
The great John Landis.
John Landis, yeah. John Belushi had never made a movie before, nor had almost every Delta and Omega, the two principal.
Right. Unbelievable. Tell us a little bit about working with John Belushi. I mean, he's been gone a long, long time now, but he is still revered.
John was one of the great comedy geniuses in the history of movies. I thought, and I still think, that no one was a better physical comedian than John since the days of silent movies. He could arch an eyebrow, and you'd just be hysterical. he worked for the Lampoon and for me for 4 years. Before we made Animal House.
Oh, no kidding.
He was in my first show, Lemmings. Then he was in the second show, the National Lampoon show. He was starred in, and for 1 year directed the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was very, very popular. And then, of course, Animal House.
When you look back on it, were there signs that he was getting out of control with the drinking and the drugs? I mean, if you had the awareness that we have today, do you think people would have been able to step in and save him?
No, I don't know the answer to the second question, but the first was he didn't really go crazy in that direction until after Animal House. He certainly, everybody in those days was doing pot. And in Hollywood, almost everybody was doing cocaine, except me. I think I was the only one who wasn't doing it. But where he became a real addict, it started with Blues Brothers, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
This is the voice of Matty Simmons here on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his new book called Fat, Drunk, and Stupid, The Inside Story Behind the Making of Animal House. You know, one thing that you didn't mention much of in the book that I was fascinated with was about the scene with the horse, the dead horse in Dean Wormer's office. You brought a live horse in. What did you use for the dead horse? Was it a model? Was it stuffed?
That was a make-believe horse there, stuffed. Not a real horse.
No, I knew that. I just what?
You know, I'll tell you a funny story about that. We shot that picture at the University of Oregon and in the dean's office. And about a year ago, the new dean, who is a huge Animal House fan, it was his birthday. And he walked in the morning of his birthday and in the office's staff and put a dead horse.
You know, if you had made that movie today, Peter would be all over you, you know, for that scene. I don't know that you could have gotten away with it in 2012.
Well, we didn't kill a horse.
I know you did. I know you did. Anyway, the book is out now. Again, it's called Fat, Drunk, and Stupid, The Inside Story Behind the Making of Animal House. And I will tell you, it's very entertaining. I have never heard any of these stories before. I mean, you've been sitting on this for a long time, Matty. And I guarantee when people see the book, they're going to want to immediately run right to their Netflix or their iTunes or something and see the movie all over again. And it still holds up. Congratulations on all its success throughout all these years. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you,
Matty.
Pleasure.
Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 7:56.
Loved Silver Zen pickups at Weenie Roast, by the way. They were
Ralph, what are you doing? Stop.
Love that bass player from The Walking Dead. She's great.
She is from Silver Zen pickups. She's delightful. She's very talented. Yeah. And the Silver Zen pickups themselves are going to be in the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space tomorrow at 11:30. You can actually see them live. If you weren't able to see us at the Weenie Roast, you can actually see them live at 11:30 through krock.com tomorrow. So please enjoy. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat out for Monday. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about Battleship?
Yay!
We are officially kicking off the summer blockbuster season. Of course, Avengers did very well for itself this weekend. And now the next in line of super colossal, special effects-laden, giant blockbuster films.
Transformers 4?
Battleship. Oh. Coming to you this Thursday at the Nokia Live. Down there in downtown Los Angeles, Nokia Theater at LA Live. It is the premiere, red carpet world premiere of Battleship. If you'd like to go, three winners right now. Three winners at 1-800-520-1067 will be lucky enough to attend the red carpet world premiere of Battleship at the Nokia Theater on Friday, May 18th. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
We should have Chip set up a Battleship game, and then the callers have to call in, and they have to try to hit us.
That would be a great way to burn 2.5 hours.
They call up, and they go, C4, and she says, nope, sorry. D9, nope, not a Battleship.
Yeah, how much time you think she has to do that? To play around and answer. She has things to do.
Let's do that.
She's very busy.
Game.
As I mentioned, Marvel's The Avengers did very well for itself. Well, and by very well, I mean it crushed all box office records ever, earning its way to $200 million in its debut weekend. That makes it the biggest movie opening of all time.
Just that.
That's all. Meanwhile, worldwide, in 12 days, it has earned $641.8 million. It's going to break $1 billion in like a week or two.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Insane. And by the way, a lot of people, Lisa May is one example.
Yeah, I haven't gone yet.
Want to go, just haven't gone yet.
Yeah. You haven't gone.
I haven't gone.
Being mulled.
There's still money on the table.
The theater right next to my hotel is showing it every 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I said, well, when did you go? Oh, no. I took a drive up the coast, though. I went to Amoeba Music.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours. So why wouldn't you go? It's right there.
Just saying. It hasn't made all of its money yet. There's still a lot of people out there who will go.
Yeah. You know who's not going to go? Goober. I
mean, well,
Goober's
yeah,
not going.
That is true, actually.
Yeah. Goober. Goober's dead. Remember Goober? From the Andy Griffith Show? He was Gomer Pyle's cousin, I think.
Come on, Kevin. Goober.
Goober.
No, I don't.
And then he was on Hee Haw for 20
hey,
years.
Andy. Hey, Goob.
I don't even know what that is.
Hey, Goob. George
Lindsay. I don't know who any of those people are.
The actor who played Goober has died at the age of 83 years old. You'll see at the funeral home now. There, are you here for the Goober viewing? Please come this way. I didn't say that with a straight face. Poor Goob. Even in death. I didn't do the rest of the top 10 at the box office, did I?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Think Like a Man was number 2 at the box office. Hunger Games was 3rd. The Lucky One was 4th. Pirates, Band of Misfits, came in at number 5. Then The Five-Year Engagement, The Raven, Safe, Chimpanzee, and The Three Stooges are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys is 26 years old today. James Loney, Dodgers first baseman, turns 28 years old. Breckin Meyer from Road Trip, and now Franklin and Bash. He is 38 years old. Tracy Lords, at the time, one of my favorite adult film actresses. Then it came out that she was underage when she made all those movies, so she's not my favorite anymore.
No.
But she's a legitimate actress.
She was on Melrose Place, if I recall.
She did that. She also was in Cry Baby with Johnny Depp.
That's right.
John Waters' film. 44 years old today. Phil Campbell of Motorhead turns 51 years old. And Eagle Eye Cherry! Woo! 51 years old. Don't have it, do you? You don't have
yep,
it ready. Don't have it up.
Say tonight. Fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone.
I'm saying
come on. That rules.
This was his only hit.
Yes.
And does not deserve a place in the birthdays.
And it just gets better with time.
Doesn't that sound terrible now?
Sounds awful. He should sing like this.
Stay tonight.
Doom, 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 zombie bass player. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That would be over right there.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
It's Kevin DeBean Show.
So I walk up to Miss Double December at the Weenie Roast on Saturday, and she's there talking to Beer Mug. And Beer Mug, and it's early. I mean, it's 3 p.m. or something.
Right.
Beer Mug is faced.
What a shock.
Yeah. I mean, just, he can barely, I mean, you know how Beer Mug gets when he drinks, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you that this is, no, listen, this is the best Miss Double D. She's got the personality. And she's pretty, and he just went on and on and on.
He must have been single that day.
I don't know what was going on. Yeah. He was in rare form on Saturday. And then what happened when we brought Incubus on stage later on that night?
He's, look, Muggs is happy, happy Muggs. Everybody has a different thing that alcohol does to him.
Right.
He's super happy. And Brandon came walking by, and he shook my hand, and I said, thanks. And he shook Bean's hand, and then Muggs pretty much bear-hugged him and said, go get him, Brandon!
Well,
go
thanks.
Get him!
Thank God he got that encouragement from Beer Mugs, else he wouldn't have been able to perform.
I looked at Chip and everybody else. I was like, keep Beer Mug away from anybody that's going to be on the stage.
How did Mug's shirt get taken off during the onstage announcement that we made for Beer Mug?
Just Dave suggested it, and when Beer Mug drinks, everything sounds like, you know, 10 times funnier than it's going to be.
He took his shirt off and just rubbed his belly for all the people.
Dude, I don't know.
It was crazy.
We have to keep them away from the celebrities.
And speaking of onstages, the other onstage that we did, I think, was bringing
Dirty Heads
on right after Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us are on stage. There's Lisa, and there's Chip, and there's DJ Omar Khan, and there's Beerbug, and there's Kevin, and there's me. No, Ralph. Ralph wasn't there. Why wasn't Ralph there? For the same reason Ralph refused to meet Shirley Manson when she was in our studio on our show last Thursday.
It's not true. It's not true. Very different. Very different reasons.
Okay.
Same result, but very different reasons.
Please explain.
I wasn't on the stage. First of all, I think on stages are kind of silly. I understand you guys. It's the Kevin and Bean show. There's Kevin and Bean. Here's the band. It's like a 12-second thing.
Agreed.
For me to walk out there like a douchebag and stand there, it's always felt weird and kind of forced me every time we do it at concerts.
Right.
But I usually do it. This time, I hadn't, well, no one had seen Garbage live in, except for people at the El Rey shows maybe, in what, 10 years? I don't know when the last time they came through LA.
A long time, yeah.
Long time. I hadn't seen them in a long, long time. One of my favorite bands, really.
Right.
I'm crazy. I was a fan of Shirley Manson's from Angel Fish, even before Garbage existed.
love this band. And I just decided I wasn't going to miss the whatever part of that their set I would have missed by having to leave the venue and walk around and go backstage and come up on stage and join you guys and do it. I just wanted to sit there and watch their whole set from start to finish.
What about Thursday?
Thursday, I was starstruck.
Yeah. Okay, so Thursday, that's what I was going to ask, is Thursday, they were here in studio.
You were 10 feet away.
Yes. And you didn't want to meet her because you were too...
I was starstruck. I would have been too uncomfortable. I wouldn't have been able to know what to say or how to broach it. And my biggest fear always in those situations is coming off like goofy fan guy.
But Saturday at the Weenie Roast, we also had her and Butch Vig from Garbage on the live broadcast from the Weenie Roast, which you were on the whole day with us.
Yes.
And you intentionally got up and walked away when they came out.
Well, I always do when you guys are interviewing the bands because you need the room and it's your
gig. But you could have gotten a photo.
Again, it's get a photo. Then I'm like, hey, can I have a picture with
you? But it's you and Shirley, though. You love her.
I'm a freaky fan guy, and I just didn't want to be that guy. It's just, it's more like I respect them so much they have no business talking to me is really pretty much how I feel. It's like, let them go about their business, whatever. I'm not going to try to insinuate my way into a picture with them or whatever. It just seems lame.
You've never been so starstruck. I've never seen you so starstruck that you won't say hi to somebody.
I only get that way around people that I was a big fan of well before I started this show. You know what I mean? We meet a lot of people on the show, and it's a great byproduct of being on the morning radio shows. You get to meet a lot of celebrities and stuff, and it's very cool, and I always try to be friendly and introduce myself and say hi. But when I'm a fan of someone that I was a fan of long before I started this gig, it's like a different vibe for me. It's a different feeling. I just feel like, ooh, that's... I just don't want to be a pain in the ass. I don't want to impose in any way by going up and, oh, I'm a big fan. Yours.
How did you ever get over that with Adam West?
Could you sign this? Could you take pictures? Because I knew Adam and I would be close friends. If I ever had the chance to meet him, I knew I would actually become one of his best friends.
Now, this is interesting. This is why we wanted to do this as a phone topic, because especially in Southern California, a lot of people run into celebrities. And if you ever have the opportunity to meet someone, shake a hand, get a photo, autograph, whatever it is, have a conversation with somebody that you truly, deeply admire, I think most people take that opportunity. Unless you're too starstruck to do so.
Unless you're too scared.
And that's what we're looking for.
Like Bean was at the Dodger game 20 years ago. What was his name? Kevin Clark?
Will Clark. Yeah.
Bean loved him so much.
Who's Will Clark?
He was the first baseman for the Giants. Don't hate me. I moved to Los Angeles from San Francisco, so I was a Giants fan at one time in my life.
Feel free to hate him.
And I loved Will Clark so much, and I was intimidated by him. Kevin and I were doing interviews on the field at Dodger Stadium, and Will Clark was standing there. And Kevin's like, dude, there's your guy. Go say hi. And I couldn't do it. It was exactly what you're talking about. I was like, I knew I was going to be just a crazy fanboy.
Yeah, you're one of those people. I didn't want to do that. I just didn't want to cheapen that experience by going up and saying, oh, I'm such a big fan. I've been a fan of yours since Angel Fish. She hears it all the time from everybody.
Right.
And I just you don't want to be out of
this.
But
she's so nice, and you know how
nice
she is.
She's great.
It would not have been awkward because she would have done everything she could to make you comfortable.
I didn't think she wouldn't have been receptive to it. I just felt like, ugh, yuck, I don't want to be that guy. If I had saw someone else do it, I'd be like, oh, look at that guy.
All right, but let me ask you this. If you had
Butch Vig, too, by the way, one of the most genius music producers of all time.
Legend.
They're
Legend.
Both in the room. It's like, that's just too much.
But
let
if you
them
had
be great, and I'll be bad over here.
But we took photos in this room with them when they were here.
Well, you have no shame, obviously.
But, no, but if you had gotten in a photo, wouldn't it be nice now to have a picture of you and Shirley Manson together?
It wouldn't make a difference, one way or the other,
but
really.
You could use it for private time.
Stop it.
See,
that's another thing. It's like autographs
wrong.
And pictures like that. What difference does that make, really?
You know,
it's nothing for me. I don't collect those. It's not like I got a wall full of people that I'm famous people I took pictures with.
It's just weird because, you know, you look at a celebrity like Zach Galifianakis, who's a mystery.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's a kind of
he's
weird,
your comedy hero.
He's a weird guy. And and I love him, but I wouldn't have any idea what to say to him, what he would say back, like what kind of person he is personally. But you do know that Shirley, even from hearing her in here, is the nicest, outgoing. She would not let you down in any way with your love.
I wasn't
of her.
Afraid of that. I wasn't afraid she was going to let me down.
Just didn't want to say hi.
I was going to let her down. I would have. I'm not worthy to spend any time taking up her time with my foolish fan nonsense.
What?
It wasn't like you guys have a reason to talk to her. You're interviewing her. It's a professional relationship.
Right.
Me just coming out from the hallway, just trying to insinuate my way in. Hey, how's it going? Just smacks of douchebaggery.
What if you took off the jacket? jacket first.
You know, I would never take off the. I would never take off my personality.
This is weird, Ralph, because you don't go.
But Zach Galifianakis, I met and went up to and had a conversation with.
You did?
Yeah, I met at Jimmy Kimmel's festival.
Yeah, the Italian thing. Yeah.
He was sitting at my table. Went up. I sat down. We were talking stuff. He's like a contemporary guy who works in the business and stuff. I had stuff to talk to him about.
Well, look,
I didn't have him up on that pedestal like I do earlier people that I have fans of, you know, from before I got into the business, really.
We want to take calls from people who have had the opportunity to meet a celebrity that they truly admire, somebody that they're really excited about, but they're too intimidated to meet them.
Let's start with Grace.
Oh, she's on the phone already. Great.
One call before we break. Grace is on the line. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
You had a chance to say hi to and didn't. To who? Well asked. I know.
George Lucas and Steven Spielberg at the same time in the same room.
Ooh. What? Wow.
See, that's completely legitimate to me. I wouldn't go up and just start chatting with those guys either.
I was so scared. It's like watching up to God, you know?
You're right. You have no business in their world.
I agree. I'm with you. I wouldn't have done it either.
Really? You would have
no
been the same way.
In that room.
Where was this?
This was at the Hard Rock Cafe. I went to a movie premiere. It was some random movie with Jamie Lee Curtis. And Kevin Kline.
Uh-huh. And they were there, probably a fish called water or something?
They were wandering around the room, just talking to them.
Just talking to everyone.
To each other.
Yeah.
And my sister kept telling me, go up to him. No, it's okay. I'll wait here.
Here's a good opening line. Why did you ruin Star Wars?
This was probably before that. This was probably way before that.
This was before the first.
Isn't that, now, how about other celebrities? Have you gone up to other people and haven't had any qualms about it? This was something different?
Oh, totally. I got up to so many people and you know, shook their hands, talked to them, but...
I think if you put them on too much of a pedestal,
they're out of your league.
After that, I realized I can't do that anymore. If I really like them, I have to go up to them and approach them.
But you don't!
Only the good ones.
Because I agree with Ralph in that, really, you're not offering them anything. Like, that's how I felt when I met Magic Johnson.
I was just thinking about how that's a perfect example of why you shouldn't go up to a celebrity.
Maybe that's why I didn't want to do it, because I didn't want to add to their burden already that they have to do with meeting all these people. I care about them too much that I didn't want to make them have to go through the motions.
Well, you made the right call, first of all.
That's why I didn't go up to them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Grace. You might be right.
Grace,
thank you for calling. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We're going to take your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the actual...
Didn't you do that with Kareem, too, Kevin?
I asked Kareem for a photo, and he said, I don't do that.
Yeah, that's right.
And he handed me a little playing card that had a photo on it. And then the very next day, he tweeted a picture of him with Zooey Deschanel from The New Girl. He's like, I'm so excited to get my picture taken with Zooey Deschanel.
All right, who's the celebrity you couldn't bring yourself to go up and say hello to? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean. So here's how it went when Kevin ran into Magic Johnson one day. He said this to him.
You're great.
That's the kind of conversation we're talking about. If you were starstruck, you found a celebrity that you love, you could not bring yourself to approach that person. Anna writes in, I was backstage at the Foo Fighters Madison Square Garden concert and walked past Mark Hoppus, who I hear is crazy nice. I did not have the nerve to talk to him. I'm a huge fan. I just couldn't get up the nerve. Kimberly writes in, Saturday night, I'm at the Playboy Mansion. As a guest, I'm a huge fan of Steven Tyler's. I've read his book. I've listened to his music my whole life. My seat was literally 5 feet away from his. Everybody said, go up and say hi to him. He's really nice, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. My friends were amazed that I wouldn't do it because I'm such a big fan. I took a picture of the back of his head, and that was good enough for me.
Wow.
Just starstruck by...
That's just creepy.
Celebrities. So that's what we're doing here on K-Rock right now. 1-800-520-1067. It happened to Ralph over the weekend with Shirley Manson from Garbage.
It happened to Ryan over the weekend as well at the Weenie Roast. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, thank you. You were backstage. You saw who and could not approach.
I was like 5 feet away from Brandon Boyd, and I just could not approach him. I've been listening to him for like 15 years or so, and, you know, there's tons of people around him, and I just didn't want, like Ralph Garman said, I just didn't want to be that idiot walking up and invading this space. And
you know what the other problem is, and I was thinking this when I met Magic Johnson, is and same with you, Ralph, with Garbage, is you've had so much history with this person. You've had such a lifetime of admiration. It's impossible to put that into words when you walk up.
Yeah, you can't cram it into a 3-minute conversation.
There's nothing you can say that would ever convey to them how much they mean to you.
But let me ask you guys this, though, in the question of the caller. Brandon Boyd, again, one of the genuinely nicest people you ever want to meet. He would have been
moved by meeting
no,
a fan.
No, he wouldn't have been moved. He would have been cordial. He would have been polite and cordial.
He seems to sincerely appreciate his fans.
Not in that situation,
how many times
though.
Do you hear that before you just, like Ralph said,
right.
you
appreciate it, sure.
Awesome,
but they all blend together. They're not special.
But I think the caller, though, would have loved Brandon Boyd even more if he had a chance to shake his hand and meet him because he's just so darn nice.
I don't think that was his
and
fear
dreamy,
that Brandon
way,
wouldn't have been nice. I think he was
dreamy.
Saying, like, I felt when I saw Shirley backstage Saturday, so many people were coming up and asking for pictures and asking for autographs and stuff that I just didn't want to add to that melee. I didn't want to just pile on.
Ryan, you did the right thing.
Thanks
yes,
for the
you
call,
did, Ryan.
Yeah.
Sorry. Got to go. All right, let's go to Daniel on line four. Hi, Daniel.
Yeah.
Who did you not approach because you were afraid of?
Davey Havoc from ASI. By all accounts, from everybody that I hear of, nicest guy in rock.
He is
super
nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. And I saw him walk into the Drama Juice. He was there sitting in the front with him and Adam Carson.
Right.
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. My knees literally buckled, and I felt like if I would have gone up to him, I would have started crying. So, you know, you don't want to see a grown man crying in front of him.
Look,
so
I'm sure Davey Havoc sees people crying all the time when they meet him. Those are his fans are pretty raw.
Yes.
Either way, but I was like, I couldn't muster the nerve to go up to him. Him, and I know I didn't say this shit, but there's another one, Zach de la Rocha. When he was doing the One Day as a Lion,
right,
Pomona.
Right.
I couldn't go up to him. He was, it's too much of a hero. I couldn't, I same thing, I will probably start crying, and
yeah,
it wouldn't be the same.
You sound like a guy who cries a lot.
Yeah.
I'm so emotional.
You should have just cut yourself in front of them. That would have been better. Just bleed.
All right, emo Daniel, thank you.
Dear
Kevin
you.
B. Let me just butt in real quick and say, Zach De La Rocha, in contrast to his onstage persona, is maybe nicer than everyone we've talked about.
Yeah. These are all nice people.
Really, really, really soft-spoken.
Right? I don't think it really is the point that people are afraid they aren't going to be nice. I think the point is that the pressure is too much. It's too great. Like you said, Kevin, there's too much emotion to pack into that one little handshake.
All right, but let me read Laura's.
And what do you get out of it, really, in the final
email,
result?
And this will be one where the celebrity happens to be a dick, and she made the right call. Dear Kevin and Bean, longtime listener of the show a couple years ago when I was a freshman at Cal State something, Long Beach. The Armenian comedian was cutting hair at the salon on campus, and I had to pass by on my way to class. I saw Ralph Garman from a distance, and I immediately wanted to go up to him and gush about how awesome he is, but I got scared. I didn't know what to say. I ran to class and said, I'm glad I didn't meet him because I would have looked and sounded incredibly dumb. Keep up the good work,
no,
Laura.
See, that's ridiculous.
You guys are shit.
Stop it, Sam.
She should have come up to me. Because I'm nobody, and I don't meet many people, and I don't get to hear that very often. So it's very nice when someone like me gets to hear nice things from someone who listens. But Shirley Manson, she doesn't need me. I'm a grain of sand on the beach.
I think we got time for one more.
All right, let's go to Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. I had a chance to meet Dave Grohl about 3 times. I saw him at LAX. I've seen him at the farmer's market twice. And every single time, I love him to death, but I just felt like what am I going to do? Walk up and say, I love you so much, and just be a complete idiot.
Good point. What can you add? What can you add to his life conversation that he hasn't already heard? That's another excellent point. What could I have said to Shirley that she hasn't heard from every garbage fan ever on the planet?
Have you met Little Ralph?
I don't think, I don't know, because I'm not in that position. I don't think people ever tire of hearing, I really enjoy your work.
Unless it's a situation like Davey at the Jamba Juice, where maybe you don't want to be the guy from AFI, you just want to be a citizen getting a beverage.
Or Dave Grohl at the farmer's market, where you're just trying to buy some produce for your family. He's with his kids,
so I felt like that's inappropriate.
Okay, with his kids, I can see that. Dave Grohl is nicer than everyone.
Nicest guy in the world. Yes, we know.
I actually know somebody who knows him.
Who knows somebody who knows him. How about that?
Well, we know him. And we think he's the nicest guy in the world.
She had 3 chances, though. Like,
that's
not going to happen.
She's stalking. Yeah. Just hasn't figured out what to do.
He's stalking me. I'm not looking for him.
Yeah, he's stalking you. You're right.
That's what's happening. Yes.
All right, so what's the takeaway on this? If you see a celebrity that you truly admire, ignore them? Is that what we're supposed to do?
Do them the kindness of leaving them the hell alone. Yeah. That's what we're saying.
Done. Fun. About 20 minutes away from your chance to win tickets for the Honda Civic Tour, Linkin Park, and Incubus, plus a Linkin Park dress rehearsal as well. You can watch them changing clothes or whatever it is they do. I don't know if it's a people
dress rehearsal
means in the room or
they use the full sound and lights and everything.
Monday means Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Hey, Harv. How you doing, man? Hey, Harvey.
Sorry. My bad.
There he is. Harvey, hi. Can you hear us?
I can.
Fantastic.
How are you?
We've been having a discussion off air all day, and I'm so glad you've joined us because I want your expert opinion. What do you make of Justin Bieber showing up at the Mayweather fight on Saturday night, walking in with Floyd, with 50 Cent, with championship belts draped over his shoulders? What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think he's trying to, like, shed the whole, you know, little kid thing. But it did strike me how bizarre it was. So I made some phone calls. Here's what I found out.
Please.
So Floyd saw about, I guess it was almost a year ago, Justin's movie Never Say Never.
Mm-hmm.
So Floyd liked the movie. So Floyd called Justin up and basically said, hey, dude, I really like your movie. I want to mentor you.
Yes.
Why does Justin Bieber need Floyd Mayweather's help to do anything?
Well, I don't think Justin needs it, but I think Justin wanted Floyd's, you know, street cred.
Uh-huh.
So they start hanging out together, and they've been friends. They've become good friends. And Justin, what Floyd, you know, who is a very modest guy, tells Justin is, look, you can achieve the greatness I've achieved, but what you need is you need a really good work ethic. And I'm going to teach you, how to develop this kind of work ethic. So Justin just became totally enamored by this guy and basically says that, you know, the way he sees it is that Floyd Mayweather is a hardworking, clean-cut guy. He's forgetting about the domestic violence
thing,
sure. But, you know, so 4 months ago, Floyd said, look, in my next fight, I want you to walk me out. And he said, absolutely. So this thing's been kind of months in the making, but they're actually good friends.
So the entourage that night, Saturday night in Las Vegas, I guess, was Justin Bieber, 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, all there kind of supporting and walking out with Mayweather. Now, Kevin looks at the picture. He's watching the fight, actually, backstage of the Wiener Roast, and he automatically just piles on and says Justin Bieber's a douche. Is he a douche if he shows up and is just doing what his friend asked him to do?
Oh, I don't think he is showing up at the fight. I mean, I think it is kind of weird that Justin Bieber's calling Floyd Mayweather a clean-cut guy. I don't think that, I mean, he's almost saying he's a nice guy and everything else. Floyd Mayweather not only does not seem like a real nice guy,
he's a dick.
But he almost wants people to think he's a douchebag.
Right.
I mean, you know, but I don't know if you guys saw the picture of Floyd Mayweather taking $2 million out of the bank just so he could pose next. Did you see that last week?
No.
Yeah. Really? Oh,
God.
No.
But don't you get the idea that Floyd Mayweather is collecting celebrities just so he appears like he's the biggest thing in the world?
Oh, absolutely. He's using Justin. Justin's using him.
Oh,
all using
so angry. When totally. I saw Justin Bieber, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
No, they just...
What a douchebag.
They're all using each other.
Hey, speaking of sports over the weekend, who's this crazy stalker lady who came out on the court during the Lakers game yesterday? Do you know anything about her?
I don't.
That's
I don't.
Weird. Apparently she's a Nuggets stalker. It just showed up and just wandered out onto the court. It was so weird the way they just quietly walked her off the stage. I just thought it was bizarre.
They are all over. I mean, it's weird. I don't know whether it's gotten worse or not, but I mean, like, there was something on Friday with Mila Kunis where this guy kind of followed her to this gym in Beverly Hills, but it just seems like so many of these stars are getting stalked.
Yeah, it is weird. All right, one more thing we want to talk about. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone, of course, the great entertainment website and TV show of record, and that is the parent, is it the Parents Television Council? Is that who's complaining about America's Got Talent? When will these people learn that every time they complain about something, they do nothing but make it more popular? What's going on now?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, so now they're asking parents to boycott America's Got Talent because they say Howard Stern is vulgar, and they're pointing to, which I think is really funny, they're pointing, I shouldn't laugh, I suppose, but I am, that when Fantasia won American, Idol.
Yeah.
Howard Stern basically, I'm not going to say the whole thing, but Howard Stern said, little boys want boners. They want a Britney Spears or a Rihanna.
Oh, nice.
But don't they
understand that Howard is a professional? Yeah, he's not going to get on NBC as a judge and a lesbian dial-a-date's going to break out. He knows what he's doing.
No, he totally knows what he's doing. He's a really smart guy. And, you know, the show is taped. So it's not like any of that's going to ever get on the air, and Howard wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants whatever he says to count, and he knows what the margins are. So, you know, the only thing that's really going to be you know, that's going to change hugely is the audience. It's all Howard Stern people. So it actually makes it way more entertaining. So the show's going to be a huge hit with Howard Stern. But the Television Council is just sealing that, and they're going to make sure that it's a hit because they're basically telling everybody. What they're doing is, you know, if anything, maybe people are going to get disappointed because they're making it seem like, oh, this is going to be this raunch fest.
Yeah,
it's
the end
not.
Of the world, right? And then it's not going to be live up to the hype.
But they're but they're making it a must-see event by saying, oh my God, he's so outrageous. You're not going to believe what he's going to do and hide the kids and the moral decline and blah, 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 blah. They're just ensuring that more people are going to tune in to see the show.
But I hope we're getting to a point where this show, and I'm sure they're eating it up, I hope, says, hey, thanks for your opinion. We're going to move on with our lives. And just ignores them.
Oh, well, I think what they're doing, I mean, look, Howard Stern's so smart. When he reads this today and sees what the Parent Television Council says, he's going to say, oh, this is fabulous.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. Absolutely. All right, go to TMZ.com for all of these stories and so much more, including your continuing coverage of Tanning Mom. I wish we had more time, Harvey, because I'm as obsessed with her as you are. And maybe I'm just fat and jealous and ugly.
You're jealous.
Maybe that's what it is.
You're fat and jealous and ugly.
Yeah, yeah, Tanning Mom is the best. I hope she goes. I hope she sticks around for a while. Because
you know she's going to get a show, right?
Yeah, reality
she's
show.
She's so much fun.
Here I am, tanning.
And check your local listings for TMZ Television. When in Hollywood, take the TMZ tour as well. You're the best, Harvey. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys.
Thanks.
Not a lot of people left around.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Do us a favor, Ralph. Don't talk about Eli Manning hosting Saturday Night Live because we need more time to explore that coming up after the top of the hour. Okay?
All right. I'll skip over this.
He was the host this past Saturday Night
and did a wonderful, wonderful job.
That's one word you could use to describe it. First, Ralph is here with the other showbiz news here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets to attend the world premiere, the red carpet world premiere of Battleship?
Yay!
Huge blockbuster movie. It is blockbuster season. We've officially
Absolutely.
Launched into it.
Speaking of Rihanna, this is her movie debut, right?
That's right, Popo Sal. She is in this film along with Liam Neeson and many other talented thespians. This Thursday at Nokia Theater LA Live, that's when it happens. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, May the 18th, but you will be attending the red carpet world premiere this Thursday if you're one of the first three callers right now to get through at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three callers get tickets to Battleship. You sunk my battleship. Remember that commercial?
It's going to be great.
Looks like a board game.
Yeah, it was a board game. Yeah.
You think that line will be in the movie?
You'd have I don't know, five or six ships of different sizes. And then your competitor would have to say, oh, okay, B7. And it would be like on a grid, and they would put like a bomb in there. And if they got them all into your ship, then they would sink your ship.
It was a terrible game.
It was a great game. It was a great game.
Terrible game.
It's a game of strategy and intellect, Kevin.
You're right.
Oh, that's why you hated it. I see.
I never had the game. I just played on paper.
What?
You just play on paper. Poor? You just draw a little grid.
Are you Abraham Lincoln?
No, you just
studying your law books by firelight at night. Just... And during the day, we'd play paper battleships. We couldn't afford the $19 game.
You have graph paper, and you just draw a little grid on it.
Oh, what a nerd.
But you could buy
what a
the
nerd.
Game. Probably not even 19.
Yeah, it was probably $10.
I don't think I ever had the actual game itself.
And then we'd play real operation. We'd get Uncle Louie to lay down, and we'd cut into him and remove his wrenched ankle.
Can we have 2012 Bean and not 1860s Bean?
I'm just saying.
We'd play with a pickled barrel.
Well, go ahead and make fun of my family for being poor. Why don't you just
do
that?
Oh, you weren't poor.
It wasn't poor.
You were just dumb.
Ha-ha. Somebody besides me being called dumb.
Yeah. Ha-ha. Hey, how about that Avengers, huh? Looks like everybody went to the Avengers this weekend.
So great.
All it made was $200 million. That's all it made. That's all.
Just that?
Biggest box office opening for a movie ever in the history of motion pictures.
And by the way, it's also rare that these huge box office blockbuster movies are also great.
Yeah,
in addition to being popular.
I think that's the reason this one did as well as it did, because not only were a lot of people looking forward to it, but it's a great film.
There's a lot of...
And everyone's the buzz of that started to get around.
A lot of good word of mouth, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Bob Hope thought so, too. Think Like a Man was number two at the box office with $8 million.
That's right.
That's quite a drop-off from $200 million to $8 million. The Hunger Games came in at number three with
Absolutely. That ain't bad, either.
Why did we get on a run?
She said, how about that Avengers?
Really? That's what made you think of
That's what made me think of Bob Hope.
1920s
get some graph paper. Get some graph paper. Go entertain yourself with some Battleship.
I never had the game.
We would just play with graph paper.
Draw.
Sometimes we'd take flies and glue them to toothpicks and make planes out of them. They were like the Wright brothers. The Lucky One was fourth at the box office. Enough from Bob? Okay. The Pirates, Band of Misfits, 5-Year Engagement, The Raven, Safe, Chimpanzee, and The Three Stooges rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Celebrity birthdays. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 51 years old today. Actress Tracy Lord celebrates her 44th birthday.
Oh, hold on.
All right.
Why is the bell 20 feet from you?
I don't know what happened.
Drummer Matt Helders from Arctic Monkeys is 26 years old. Dodgers first baseman James Loney is 28 years old. Breckin Meyer celebrates his 38th birthday. And Eagle Eye Cherry is 41 years old today.
Hit it, Steve.
Nope, I haven't, but I'd rather not.
Really? Hit it, Steve.
Come on. Say tonight. Yeah, uh-huh. Fight the breakup,
don't come. I think that sounds good again. I haven't heard it in a long time. I don't mind that.
Absolutely.
But you've heard it enough now.
I'm good for another year, if that's what you're asking.
Come on. Hey. Right,
that's good.
Oh, come on.
That's it. That's
it. That's a summertime booty shaking music right there.
It's not.
It is.
That.
Makes me shake it down there when I'm going to be on my rollerblades down in Venice, that song.
I want to see
with
that.
My dolphin shorts on, my mesh tank top.
And your leather jacket.
And my Walkman. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 9:42.
Yeah!
Hey, a few minutes ago, we gave away tickets to that Linkin Park Incubus show. Who won that, by the way?
That would be Juan Follis from Los Angeles.
What do you think the chances are, Ralph, that's what his real name is?
It's probably Follis, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with 0% myself, and I said it.
Honda Civic Tour, got tickets for you all week long. Keep listening for your chance to win on the Kevin and Bean Show. All the details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph.
Everybody's starting to talk like me. I love it.
What happens when you hang out with somebody? It's like you pick up an accent if you're in a foreign country. It's the same kind of deal. We're all turning into Kevin.
Exactly. I love it.
Speaking of winners, how about tickets to see the red carpet world premiere of Battleship?
Yay!
It's happening this Thursday at the Nokia Theater at LA Live in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
What's the word on this, Ralph? Pretty good?
Pretty good. Pretty bombastic. Pretty. Yeah. If you like your special effects extravaganzas or summertime popcorn movies, then Battleship is what you want to see.
Is it as strong as The Avengers, which is very heavy on action and CGI and all that, but has a great storyline or no? What's the word, you know?
Yes, it is as good as Avengers is. Why as I do this promotional advertising bit for Battleship.
I wasn't trying to lead you too far down the path, Jesus. Ralph. I just wanted to know what the word was.
The hell, people. Like, just shut up and let me do my job.
It's got aliens.
Just shut up and let me do my job.
All right.
Battleship, red carpet world premiere happening at Nokia Theater LA Live. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, May the 18th, but if you'd like to see it before anybody else, first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call.
Obviously.
All
Kevin,
right.
God damn it.
Let's talk about the Motor City Madman.
And before we do that.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm sorry, Ralph.
What have you heard about Ted Nugent? What's his new album like?
No, we have the guest that we have to go to on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do you mind?
No, that's what I live for.
Okay, I know it is. All right, we have Noodles on the phone from The Offspring. Hi, Noodles.
Hi, you guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
I understand we dragged you away from a video shoot. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. We're down here in down here by the beach.
Okay. And you're doing a video for the new song that we just debuted the other day.
I think so. I'm not sure what we're doing today. We had a party at Dexter's house last night, so I'm a little out of it.
All right, now, Noodles, here's what happened from my end. I was in the audience, and just before you guys came on, the special guest Soundgarden came on.
That's right.
And I saw this woman behind me that looked like she was having the worst time ever. She had both of her fingers in her ears. So I tweeted it. We put it up as our picture of the day today.
KROQ.com.
And then you said what?
That's my mom.
Oh.
Yes. Noodles.
Noodles from The Offspring's mom.
Are you kidding?
That is my mom.
What? Now,
yeah.
How can she hate Soundgarden so much?
She loves Soundgarden. She's got hearing problems, and she was saving her ears for The Offspring.
you know, I'm her son. So.
Sure.
But no, she's been a fan. Oh, man, she loves Temple of the Dog. She was way back for the whole grunge scene.
I got to tell you, I didn't know she was your mom. No offense intended, but wow, she looked miserable. And I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
Okay, good.
So, Noodles, does your mom, I mean, you know, obviously she's followed your band, supported your band for a lot of years, but I mean, does she listen to rock music? Like, did she know Incubus songs and Coldplay songs and stuff like that? Because most moms
absolutely
don't.
Well, she listens to K-Rock a lot. So,
oh,
yeah,
no.
She,
you know. And now she's our picture of the day.
All right.
Now I feel bad.
Listen to this, Noodles, and you're really going to enjoy this. And please tell your mother this, too. So, Soundgarden comes out at the K-Rock Weenie Rose. People are expecting you. They turn the stage. It's not you. It's Soundgarden. And it was great, and I think you saw it. It went over great, right? Kevin and I went backstage to interview Soundgarden immediately after they left the stage. And Kevin whipped out his phone and showed the guys the picture and said, look at this lady. Look at this lady during your set. And they thought it was so funny how miserable she was during their set.
She actually really enjoyed them. But like I said, she was just trying to save her ears.
I got you.
You know.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I misunderstood that. I thought she was miserable.
She looks like she is. She absolutely does. The picture is hilarious.
It is so funny.
She's a little mortified because she's a big fan. She loves listening to your guys' show. She loves the whole station. I think she wants to try out for Miss Double December next week.
Great. She's welcome.
She's in.
Okay. I'll let her know.
All right. Well, thanks again for Saturday night. It was so fun to see you guys.
Oh,
it was
thank
just
you guys.
Great.
You know, it was fun catching up with you guys and everyone at at K-Rock backstage. And just all the bands. It was such a great show.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great time. We're very excited about the record when it comes out. And I know we'll be seeing you guys again this summer. So get back to your work, all right?
Okay. I will do. Thanks
you guys. Give our best to Mom.
I will.
Okay. Oops. Sorry. Bye.
That's why'd you funny. Hang up on the dude?
I thought he was done. I thought he was gone. All right, back to you, Russell.
You didn't ask Noodles about Battleship.
What he thought of it. What the early reviews are from The Offspring. What they thought of it. Let me ask you a question, Kevin. You were trying to tweet a link this morning.
Yes.
How many tweets did it take you to get a link out to the people?
Well,
to the people that you're trying to reach. How many different tweets did you have to tweet before you were finally able to just include a simple link to a photograph to your followers?
Probably 10. And I thought it was all them. Had nothing to do with me.
It wasn't them.
You thought it was everybody else.
Well, now I know it wasn't them.
Yeah.
But at some point I wrote, I hate you all, because they were all wouldn't stop pestering me for this photo. So I would send them the link again, and it was a broken link or something. I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I went to the Kings game yesterday, 4 in a row over the Blues.
Woo!
After Weenie Roast, I'm a little tired.
Okay, well then, don't tweet. Don't tweet and sleep or whatever it is you're doing over there. Just let it go.
Kevin, God damn it.
It's like, what's the picture Kevin's trying to send me? I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's tweeting something and it won't work.
It's working now. Leave me alone.
How many tweets? Seriously.
Literally, I think probably 10 of the wrong one, of the one that didn't work.
Man, you're damaged.
I'm
damaged goods.
I'm sorry.
Obviously.
Everyone.
Ted Nugent in the news.
Speaking of damage.
The Nuge. He's gotten into some red tape at all. Hot water. Hot water recently. For his saying, well, you know, he'd be dead or in jail if Obama was elected president again in November. And that the Democrats should have their heads chopped off and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So CBS was talking to him, a reporter named Jeff Glor. And Nugent had the audacity to say, I am a moderate. And Jeff Glor said, you've been described as many things, but you have never been described as a moderate. And that led the Nuge to go off on this rant.
I'm an extremely loving, passionate man, and people who investigate me honestly, without the baggage of political correctness, ascertain the conclusion that I'm a damn nice guy. And if you can find a screening process more powerful than that, I'll or how's that sound?
Yeah, the offer he made Jeff Glor was that I'll suck your D.
God.
And then he turned to the female producer of the piece and said, or I'll F you. How does that sound?
Wow.
What he said, pretty
well,
much.
Well, that's moderate.
How dare they call him anything but a moderate?
Well, he is now talking about that interview with some of his radio friends.
He's doing an interview about the interview
with radio host Mike Broomhead. And he said that the reason he got so upset is because the mainstream press is trying to paint him as a nasty man, in his quote, who wants to rape your puppy.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
And he said, they want to tell you that I've threatened the president's life and I'm a mean, nasty man who wants to rape your puppy, but I wouldn't rape your puppy. He said,
that's good news. for all puppy owners.
But I'm sure if the president needs a little chow, I could do a little bush meat for him, he said.
But nobody is painting him anyway if they're quoting him talking about how he's going to F a CBS producer.
And he's going to be in jail and cut off heads. He's the one. He deserves all the attention.
He's a loving man. F you. I'm loving. I'm compassionate and loving. I'm an extremely loving, passionate man. Yes. And people who investigate me honestly without the baggage of political correctness ascertain the conclusion that I'm a damn nice guy.
Right,
and if you can find a screening process more powerful than that, how's that sound?
Anderson Cooper thought it was funny, apparently.
We are patriots. We are Bravehearts. We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You sound moderate.
That's not funny, Anderson.
Anderson, let's talk about chopping heads off. It's not... You all right? Coop? Coop,
not,
you okay?
Not appropriate.
Coop, you all right?
Yeah.
He also said that he is obviously a moderate man because he has taken many dying children on their last fishing trips.
Nugent said that?
Yeah.
Nugent said he
did. Yes, he did.
Really?
I wish we had the whole interview.
Oh,
he's like,
my gosh.
You find somebody who's taken more dying children on their last fishing trips than me.
Would it have been their last
fishing trip if he didn't take them?
Were they even sick when they went?
He didn't choose to go too deeply into that comment. But, yeah. He's a nice guy. He takes dying kids on fishing trips.
Nobody's done that more than me.
All right, you win. You're the dying fisherman, Captain. What do you want from us?
And you're the most moderate person in America, Ted.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Matt Helders of the Arctic Monkeys. He's their drummer. He's 26 years old. James Loney, first baseman for your Los Angeles Dodgers, turns 28 years old today. Brecken Meyer is 38. Tracy Lords, the lovely and talented, is 44 years old. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 51. And Eagle Eye Cherry celebrates his 41st birthday today. That's right, Come on, Eagle Eye.
This is one hit.
It's one of many. Remember he had that Jack and Jill song? Remember that was another one of his hits?
Yeah, it was
Ray Parker again, Ralph.
Yeah.
You're going back.
Happy birthday, Eagle Eye. You're 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we'll talk about Lisa's jury duty. They did not want her.
Well.
Wow, they couldn't have gotten me out of there faster.
There's no possible way they could have dissed her more.
Why bother to invite somebody to the party if you don't want them at the party, by the way? What's the point of that?
Maybe they eat all the gumballs.
Could be.
Maybe that's what it is.
Lisa is a hog. We also have the beer mug weigh-in, which is going to go well.
This pick gets more exciting every week.
So
we're almost done. We're in the home stretch now.
I wonder if he's not going to lose enough weight to win.
Nope.
But he'll lose a little bit of weight.
Let me just say, in Mug's defense, I know that we're in the bottom of the eighth, okay? But sometimes teams come back and score 10 runs in the ninth and win a game. You don't know, man.
That's right, true.
Mean.
You don't know, man.
And if today wasn't nutty enough, we have Andy Dick in the studio tomorrow.
Oh, what? My God.
So that's going to go well,
I predict. There's going to be inappropriate touching.